Tip the card.
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus. Mick Sharkey is here to tip the card on what looks like a very, very tough card at headquarters. How are you, Sharknado?
Happy birthday to you.
No, we've had enough. That was
happy
yesterday.
Happy birthday to you.
What the listeners can't see.
I wondered why you were wearing that white dress.
I'm slowly derobing. Yeah,
why were you wearing that white dress?
Cake off the side that I've just topped out. I've seen better days.
You did bring a couple of cupcakes, which is very much appreciated.
Have a sweet treat on your birthday. How old were you yesterday? 48?
No, 44.
44?
Yeah, stop it. It's not that bad, is it?
You got 7 years on me.
Jeez. You are aging badly. We were a bit closer
We all know that.
No.
And you've got 14 years on Jack.
If she's listening, she'll cop that, but it is a little bit closer than that. No, we're about halfway there.
How did you do it?
Back in the day, Sharky, there weren't many options around when Jack came into the... Do you know...
Funny about your back in the day.
I'll tell you exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
Jackie Barracks for Geelong. I'm working for Channel 7, covering the football. Geelong win their first ever grand final. Was it 2007, 2008? Go out that night. Mm. Jackie's out. Mm. She's obviously happy. She had a few drinks.
Very happy. That's
where we met. So as much as I don't
moment
like Geelong, if Geelong hadn't won the premiership, Jackie wouldn't have been drunk and probably never gone out with me. So that is the history. So there you go.
Speaking of premierships, a mutual friend was recounting some tales of a football premiership that you might have been a part of back in the day.
Mighty Hampton Rovers.
Hampton Rovers. Centre-half back. Something of an undersized centre-half back, I would have thought.
Just the brick wall.
Was it?
Yeah.
The big fist
but you know
of steel
who,
just
do you know who
out?
Played in that team who was a superstar?
Who's that?
Joshy Rodder. From
we
the MRC.
Talking about the same person here.
Undefeated for a whole season. Anyway, we digress.
Celebration's better than the pre-game celebration.
Maybe. Let's get on to Flemington tomorrow because we need to find some winners here. This is tough. Are you confident? Because if you get a few winners, there'll be value galore.
Now, how long have we been doing this segment?
Yeah.
Am I anything but confident?
I like it.
Ever?
I like it. Well, do you know what I want to see occur? Not just winners tomorrow, but after last week, social media blew up about Simon Zara and him throwing down the gauntlet to Jason Richardson as the fastest person in racing. What was he, 10.95? He declared he can run 100.
He said he broke 11, yeah.
Which is almost quicker than Jason Richardson's ever run. So in the ensuing week, I believe the trash talk has been big, that Simon Zara is back in training and ready to take Richo on. And
got Simon a coach, too.
In the form that Prezado was in, down the straight, I believe, Simon Zara has been burning similar numbers during the week.
Really?
And he joins us this morning. Simon, is this true? How are you?
I know. My brother's thrown me under the bus there. He's been quite active on Twitter on my behalf, but I haven't started any training yet. When the official, as you say, lineup occurs, then I'll plan my mission.
So this is on. You're happy to you've issued the formal challenge to Jason Richardson, who I know is a listener to this program while he's sitting there getting a massage somewhere and someone's peeling grapes for him. But yeah, you've issued the challenge, and it's on.
Well, apparently he reckons we're both past our best, so I think that it's in his hands what he wants to do. I might rock up the wheelchair. That might be the guy.
Well, I like this. We're going to get this organised.
Stuff in the wheelchair.
We'll cover it on RSN and we'll try and get racing.com to show this live because this could be one of the greatest head-to-head contests we've seen. A few people unkindly had said that you have trained off a fair bit, though, Simon.
Oh, yeah, but we're back in the shape. There's no problem with that.
Gee, I like that confidence. I like it. All right, well, that is on. A date to be fixed. Richo v. the Maltese Marvel down the straight
what a clash
at
it will
Flemington.
Be.
let's get on to finding an actual winner tomorrow. Prezado, gee, he loves Flemington down the straight. He's got to carry 59, but it looks another nice race tomorrow.
Yeah, look, it does. Obviously, the doesn't go on weight wise. He's not penalised on kilos for his last win. I think he looks better. He should have had 3 weeks in between this run and the one before. He only had a fortnight and probably didn't quite look as good going to Flemington last on a couple of weeks ago. And he arrived back from the farm last Thursday. He looked absolutely awesome. So it doesn't look like he's trained off. Obviously, the straight, he's gone well. I mean, the change is Lee Williams on and Jamie Carr off. So that's the only change. Looks to be nice enough speed for him and looks to get a lovely run again.
How important has Jamie been with this horse and its spark back into winning form, Simon? Do you think it might be a case where she's clicked with the horse?
Oh, look, definitely that. Also, we're changing his environment a bit with him, but also just the 1,000 metres. We sort of dissected his form when he went up to the farm originally, and everything was over 1,000 up the straight. So, looked like a good recipe, and look, just with the soft hands, gets him to relax, and even the barrier, a bit of a barrier horse, and ever since we sort of changed everything up and put Jamie on, he just stands in the gate. So his whole attitude just seems to be different, and listening to a lot of the guys that do their podcasts, they were saying he's running sort of group times the other day, so he's definitely probably in career best form.
Well, there is no Jamie tomorrow, though. And, look, it's hard to say Craig Williams is a negative, but does that play or have any effect?
Oh, look, Craig's won on him. He won on him at Pakenham and ran third on him at Sandown. So it's not as though he hasn't ridden him. He rode him probably at Pakenham the same way out of that shoot, just got cover, come out and hit the line, And that's when he was sort of having a good think about things too. So Craig sort of turned his form around a little bit, about 18 months ago. And, he's an avid watching of form and what does all his homework. So, we won't have to tell him too much. He'll ride him probably similar. And if he's got that same burst that he's had in the last sort of two runs, he's a hard horse to sort of to go with when he accelerates like he does.
Simon, what about the two-year-olds, Astro Ruby and Zesty Bell, who I think there was a fair bit expected from her at her debut, but she just didn't finish the race off like she had been in her jump outs. Was she shin-sore or anything out of that run?
Look, she wasn't so shin-sore, but go back on the day, the rail was out 10, maybe even more, and everything won on the rail all day. So and goes through that meeting and everything out wide was disadvantage on the day. But I think the day got to her a little bit as well. She got really fired up behind the gate. And 2-year-old having her first start up the straight view has got really lost. So just put a line through that. She's had a really good build up to this. We took her to Werribee for a bit of a day out last Friday, and I just love the way she showed that good turn of foot. And I think that obviously the softer track might have helped her a little bit too. The track was quite wet and she accelerated nicely through that, and this track has come up fantastic. I walked it on Wednesday and it looks absolutely awesome. So she'll have a little bit of cut out of the ground, and we couldn't have her any better going into Saturday.
Well, Glenn Ingram, yesterday our trial file wizard declared it was his best of the day off the jump outs. And I see Luke Nolan's riding. Did Luke get off Divine Caprice to get on Zesty Bell?
Luke just had a bit of a barrier accident this morning, so hopefully all right to watch it. He went off in the gate with him, so we're hoping he's all right to ride her tomorrow. He was really impressed. Obviously, he doesn't do a lot of riding for us and been doing a few jump outs for us, and he just got off and said, I'll ride it wherever it goes. And, said, oh, he's in next Saturday, so he obviously rang the manager straight away to book the ride, and having her all those guys to put us on, and he's a nice, patient rider and can get the best out of her. And, she handles the day like she's in the Werribee the other day. They'll know she's there.
Okay, so what happened this morning with Luke?
Just one went off in the barriers and went underneath and got hooked up. Just sort of got carried in the ambulance with a couple of guys. I think they're just checking him out now, so He seemed okay, but you know, hopefully he's all right to ride tomorrow.
All right, we'll try and follow that up as well. But that's big for Luke. Fingers crossed, because he's got a nice book of rides as well. And then you round out the day in So You Swing towards the end of the card. Consistent horse. What do you make of So You Swing with Willow on board?
Well, I thought she was probably her best, to be honest.
Really?
Should have been a long-term plan, this race for her. The barrier sort of beat her at Caulfield of a slow tempo. Got out wide, hit the line, probably the only horse to make ground in that race. We're really keen to get her back to Phillies and Mares and get her back to Flemington. We took her to Werribee last week, gave her a nice sit out there, and we thought she trialled enormous, and really been getting her keen to get her back to Flemington, where she, you know, like her run, I think it was Oaks Day, was probably nearly should have won, just missed the start, and cost of the race, I thought, and we couldn't have this mare going any better. She's just drawn again a bit average, so if she can get luck from that day, I thought she was nearly our best for the day.
It is a tricky draw, because apart from Queen Lediva, there doesn't seem to be a lot of speed in the race, and they might not put the pressure on up front. Can she be closer to the pace, or does she just have to go back?
Oh, we've only ridden her back, because last time we drew wide, and Jamie sort of, if she pushed up, she would have been three wide, so she took the option to go back and got into a lovely spot, but then all of a sudden they took the speed out of the race. I think they were running 13s for the next couple of furlongs, and obviously the leaders got away from her, but when she got out late, she hit the line, you know, on a heavy track and hit the line enormous. So, back on top of the ground a bit today, on Saturday, a little bit of cut out of the ground, back to Flemington, I reckon she performed is nearly their best. And we probably couldn't have her any better. So back to Phillies and Mares, as I said, just if we get that luck early in the last 200, they'll know she's there.
Gee, that's a good push for punters, because Prezado and Zesty Bell are favourites, and So You Swing is the best value at $5. And in your mind, the best of the day. It could be a treble tomorrow at headquarters. Are you taking one of your world-famous multis?
I got it last week, so that was all right.
You did?
Yeah.
So did I. Thanks for that one.
To at Bendigo. So I got the thank you from Shark, too. He gave me the ring to thank you, but I didn't get yours, Michael, so...
Because I didn't back it. I watched them both sail home at the provincial, and was kicking myself because they paid good prices too.
Yeah, no, that was good. It was two nice horses. They'll get to town now, and they were sort of getting a bit of a tune up, and one was coming back from attendance. So, they're probably two second class horses you'll see in the city in the next few weeks, and both have come through well. So, two probably horses to look out for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, then, in the spirit of the sneaky out wide that you found our listeners last week, what about a Donald today? You've got two going around?
Look, the two-year-old's a bit green. He won the trial wherever the other day, but he did a lot wrong, so probably want to see him go around. And I thought War Critic, obviously, his form doesn't read great, but the key to him, he's back on a good four. He's had one start on a good track and one. And three on a heavy that he hated. So, looked a competitive race, but I thought War Critic up there was worth a really good bet. So, I think he's a talented horse, but he's just got to get a ride. And I think the key to him is back on the good track.
All right, we love that. He's currently $8.50 in race five at Donald today. If you can pull off this and a couple of winners tomorrow.
$36 2 days ago, so
the owners
got up quite early.
Don't tell us that.
Yeah.
$36 into $8.50.
Wow.
All right. Well,
can Simon, we go to a break so we can both get on?
Simon, if you can pull this off, we might get you a regular Friday Film Focus co-host just to keep Sharky honest. So good luck over the weekend.
Sorry, thank you, guys.
I love Simon. He looks after our punters. So I remember that two-year-old going back 2 years ago, 18 years ago, that had its first... 18 months ago, I should say. That had its first start in a Blue Diamond preview, and he said, I can't believe that this thing's gone up 20-1. They backed it into $8 and it won its first start. One of the listeners out there will let us know. Nice. SMS is 0416 90 50 52. Before I get your tips in the first, let's have a chat to the track manager, Liam O'Keefe, out at Flemington. Morning, Liam.
Morning, gents.
What's the track like out there? It's a beautiful morning. It's been pretty crisp, though. A heavy dew, no doubt.
Yeah, we even had a frost out there this morning, so that'll turn into a dew during the morning, and then, clearing to a fine day. So nice day today and just a couple of showers around tomorrow. But the track's come up a soft 5 this morning. The going stick is 8.9 overall, and the rail is in the 8-metre position.
All right, so soft 5, if there's a few showers expected, is that the range you think it'll be playing tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it'll come up a soft 5 again in the morning just for these heavy dews. No wind at all, so not a lot of drying. And the Bureau has said from mid-afternoon onwards a few showers, so I think we'll be on a 5 for the day.
All right, rails out 8. What are you thinking about track, where they might be going down the straight and around the bend?
Yeah, first two races down the straight, so I'd expect them to come up the middle to outside as the normal pattern, and then round the bend, just a little bit of marking on the inside, a couple of metres around the turn and the inside 4 or 5 metres in the straight. So I'd just expect them to edge off a bit later in the program, just a typical winter track.
All right, it's a good tough meeting tomorrow. We need your insight. Mm. What's the local mail, the whisper at headquarters?
Well, it's going to be hard to go past Simon, so you swing, I reckon. We'll jump on board there each way and hope the good form in the stable continues.
Good work. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning, Liam.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe, track manager out at headquarters. And, Sharky, this first race, a lot of punters had been pinning Prezado as a little bit of a bank builder for the meeting because it is going to be tough. Are you on the Prezado bandwagon?
I don't know if you could have predicted that anyone would be planning on building a bank around Prezado two starts ago. But anyway, here we are, $2.60 favourite. I'm just wondering what influence Jamie Carr's had with the horse in his last couple. Seems to have really clicked with the horse, and you lose nothing with Craig Williams. Obviously, he's a world-class jockey, but it's just sort of nagging in my mind a little bit there with that change. A lot of speed in this race from within, all over Bossa Nova. Raven's Blaze showed a lot of pace in a Mornington jump out. She actually went really well in that jump out, was untouched in that heat. Parliament Prince has got speed. I just can't come at Prezado at 260 or thereabouts. I'm looking for something a little bit better, and I think it might be a race where the horses coming late might have the edge. Kenyan Wonder interests me at double figures. Really good run in the Irwin, 3 back, and then she just hasn't had any luck at all at her last two starts. And she's been in stakes company in Adelaide. She's been wide, pushed off the track, like working into corners, just bad scenarios. Back in trip, really fresh. She's drawn to swoop late. If the leaders, if they just overdo it a little bit in front, which they could do with some of the pace in this race. I thought she was a nice little each-way option in the first.
About $13. Interesting runner here is Mr. Yeo. Jimmy Conlon trains, former Singaporean gap, who's raced at the highest level over there. Have we seen anything at the jump outs?
He's had a couple of jump outs. One of them was in that Raven's Blaze heat. He won that heat but was ridden to go and win it. Raven's Blaze was still on the bit and could have won it easily. So, like to wait and see with these horses coming back from Singapore. Dead Agent was their best horse, came back here, and he's been always running on, but yet to win. I'd rather just see how Mr. Yao goes.
All right, that's the first at headquarters. A nice early start, 11:35, race number one. Race two is...
5.
Oh, yes, I know.
You'll be just rolling out of bed after your celebrations tonight.
I wish. With a 3-year-old, that will not be occurring. Race two. This is the 2-year-old race. Now, Zesty Belt, Simon did give it a really nice push. Luke Nolan, we'll follow that up this morning to find out how he is. So for those who missed it, Simon Zara said there's been a bit of a barrier incident at headquarters this morning. Luke Nolan involved, being attended to by the ambulance officers there. So fingers crossed that Luke Nolan is fit to ride tomorrow. Safe's an interesting runner from the Mick Price McKenna Jr. stable at $5. And Pocket Goddess, who David Hayes said he found it hard to split both Pocket Goddess and Divine Caprice.
Those that have been up and racing have got wet track form. I don't think we're going to be on a really wet track tomorrow. What Liam's saying around that soft 5, I think it probably hangs there for the most of the day by the sounds of it. I found this a really tricky race. You've got 5 of these resuming, somewhere in the market, at debut runs, ran below expectations. The ones that are sort of race fit, apart from Miss Kansas and, pardon me, Divine Caprice, who are last start winners, There's not a lot that jumps off the page at you. I landed on Zesty Bell on the strength of the jump outs because they have been very good. She's obviously come back in really good shape. The last jump out at Werribee, what was it last week, Simon said, she went and won by like four or five lengths, but was just asked to quicken and did. You know, it wasn't like she was ridden out and pushed out to the line. She was just given a little shake, say, okay, quicken, see what you got, and there was plenty there. She was well and truly in the market when she had her first start down the straight back in September behind Mildred. Might have all just come a bit soon for her. Might have been in the wrong part of the track, as Simon said. But look, I think the ability is there, and the market says that she's going to show it tomorrow. She's on top, but not a great deal of confidence in this race. Rather just wait and see how they go.
All right. Well, let's have a look at how the market plays and what occurs tomorrow. Race 3 at Flemington. This is one of the big hype runners of the day. And what Coulth has been able to do in two starts over in South Australia has been super impressive. Spoken to Tony and Calvin McAvoy about what type of potential this Done Deal gelding has. And they both say that they can't put a finger on it because he does nothing on the track until he gets to race day. He's a $2.70 chance. Hypercane, another of the South Australians at $6. Highland Jack at $8. So he's got to carry 60.5 kilos.
That's not a problem. When you see him, that
he's
won't
a
be a
beast,
he's a
isn't
big
he?
Unit. There are a couple of big units here. Coulson, also Hypercane. He's a strapping big horse, I think.
He's got back in his two runs to date and just absolutely overpowered them. The 2,000 looks to suit. Flemington looks to suit. Step up to Saturday, Melbourne class. How will he handle it, Sharp?
I think he's definitely the fresh blood into a race like this. You look through the form card here, and most of these have been up and going for a while. And you know, I think the race really drops away from, you know, and this is no knock on numbers 7 to 13, but they're not exactly jumping off the page as city class horses. You know, off-season, Metro, this is their shot. They might make nice horses in time, but yeah, they're not exactly thrilling me at the moment. There's no speed in this race, Michael. So I don't know if there'll be tactics changes or anything closer to the race, but at the moment, Dargo is probably the most natural on-speed horse, and he's a big, raw bugger with a big strange action, actually, throws one of his front legs right out. He's probably the one that's going to go forward. Who joins him? Probably Persan. Maybe they push forward on Flanders Rain because they keep riding her conservatively from wide gates and she's just getting too far back. But in a sit sprint race, or not a sit sprint, but a race of moderate tempo out to this distance, maybe she can be closer. Independent Road might be. But there's nothing there that's going to pour the pressure on. That's the point I'm making. Coulth will be back from 12. The good thing is he's won races that haven't been high pressure so far in Adelaide. He's been able to just amble around them and rip home with a really strong last sort of 400-metre section. Similar scenario here. I have to have him on top, but I'm not overly confident because I think he's still really raw and the potential to do things wrong is still real with this horse. I can't really find anything I want to back to beat him, though. Hypercane comes through that gamekeeper form line. We know that stood up here a couple of weeks ago. But again, he gets a long way back. He runs on. I can't see a change of pattern with him. He needs some time to sort of hit top gear, that horse. Flanders Rain, we spoke about her. Highland Jack, if you go back to his listed race form on Oaks Day last year, when he ran up behind Pancho and Russian Camelot, you'd nearly have him favourite in this race. But this preparation, I don't know. Maybe it's the really wet tracks at his last couple, but he's just been a bit flat for mine. It's kind of Coulth by default here. Not mad confident, but I can't really mount a case with any others to say, well, they're ready to go and win a race either.
So he's got the most potential, but the way the race shape and the lack of experience, you wouldn't want to dive into 270.
Well, the race shape was probably against him at his last start as well, but yet he overcame that. So
what's he beaten in those two starts, though?
Not a hell of a lot. But then again, what have any of these beaten or been racing against? The genuine off-season benchmark 70, benchmark 78 horses. Coulth put away a maiden field that had, I don't think there was anything in that, but a 64 against older horses, you know, that's, and he beat him by 2.5 lengths, and he looks like this trip's only going to be better for him. It's a funny race. He's a funny horse. The ability's there. I'm sort of The words of Calvin and Tony McAvoy ringing my ears, he shows us nothing at home, yet here he is doing what he's doing. Yep. Odd little race.
He's a big raw bugger, but he's an exciting horse. It'll be interesting. 270, he may get out. Wait to see what the market does tomorrow.
Cool. I'll get more enthusiastic in a moment too, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, this is what we want. Is this race four? Do we get enthusiastic here? If you were a fan of Gold Mag, you may have tempered that enthusiasm after listening to David Hayes, who said, just thinks it may need the run. It's the $5 favourite, Mount Popper. This is an interesting runner where we need your intel. The ex-French galloper with Team Hawks at $6. Eureka Street, $9. Simply Optimistic, $9. Are you a Mount Popperman?
God, no.
Really?
He's a handicap stayer. I haven't seen much acceleration from him in jump outs. I'm not with Mount Popper. I am with another imported galloper here that gets a start, though. I could do better.
Yep.
If you cast your mind back, Miguel, a week or so ago, you may recall that I was somewhat confident about its chances in what I would say was a stronger race. Here he is, gets into a field now. He's got a wide gate. Barry 17's no spoil. Oliver rides. Two jump outs have been, he hasn't lit the clock up or anything like that, but I've liked the way he's moved and liked the way he's looked in those heats. He was a very promising horse. In Europe, had some form around some good horses, changed stables, went off the boil a little bit. Last run before coming out was good. Into the Waller camp. It's a scenario that the raw ability to win better races than this is definitely there with I could do better. And I am backing Mr. Waller to get it out of him. Might be going off a run early, but he's a horse with mile form in the UK. There are no stars in this. We know exactly where 95% of this field sit. In terms of their output, I've got I could do better on top.
He's $12. How do you think tomorrow will play? Soft five, if there's a couple of showers during the day, rails out eight, will you want to be a run on, get out wide?
Yeah, not sure. I think they'll start to use more of the track as the inside lanes cut out. It seems to be the way it goes at Flemington. I don't see why that will be any different tomorrow. I don't think there's much in the rain. Because there's not a lot of wind around this weekend. Miguel, and I'm getting mildly excited about fishing prospects this weekend. There's only up to a mil forecast. I'm not worried about that. Light winds, beautiful. Should actually turn the calamari on tomorrow afternoon with a full moon. They're just coming on the bite later in the day. It might be a good day for a few squidly diddlies. Secret Vega is the other horse that I want to include in this race. He is a 1400 metre specialist. It was a super win at Pakenham. The pace was on. The leaders cut at each other a bit. He sat back off them. Took the gaps, though. And getting cover, I think that's the key with this horse. When he can get cover and be produced late, he really has a nice finish on him. They tried a similar tactic at Flemington over a mile. Everything went beautifully until the 200 metres, and then Secret Vega remembered he doesn't quite get the mile. So back to 1400 is a big plus. Inside gate is a big plus. Joe Bowditch knows the horse very well. He knows how to ride him. I think he's the... of the horses that are up and going and exposed at the moment that we know about, we haven't seen, I could do better yet on an Australian racetrack. Secret Vega's the one. So they're the two that I'm playing here.
Good value. I could do better, $12. Secret Vega, $9.50. We'll do race five before we take a break and come back with the quaddie. And if you miss Simon Zara, best of the day from the stable. They've got Prezada, the favourite in the first. They've got the favourite in the second. But So You Swing, $5 second favourite. Race five's his best of the day. Shahzade's the favourite at $4.40. And Queen Ladiba, Lindsay Smith's worked his magic and got it back into form's the third pick at $9.50. Do you agree with Simon Zara?
I think the horse is a terrific chance. I wondered what the plan was this preparation, because last prep she did get out to some decent races. The run behind Nudge on Oaks Day, I think it was. Maybe it was Stakes Day. Whatever it was very good. No, it was Oaks Day. It was a super run. I just wondered where she would get to from 12. Had she drawn a single-figure gate, the apparent lack of pressure up front I don't think would have been such a big deal for her, but I just wonder if she'll get too far back here and she'll be running on late and you think, oh, that's a good run for a third-up performance. We need something to go forward and take on Queen Ladiva. Because she's the only leader. She controlled a race last time over a mile with Craig Newitt up. Chris Caserta takes a ride tomorrow. A little claim helps. I wonder if Chris just tries to bowl along and use her fitness, because if he makes it a sit sprint, it probably plays against Queen Ladiva. So maybe he does bowl a little bit. The speed might not be too bad after. I'm trying to talk myself into Chris Caserta just helping us out with a couple of these back markers, as well as
you're telling him how to ride.
Oh, look, I couldn't ride a Shetland, let alone a racehorse. Ann Arbor, again, might be a little bit of a run too soon. She's had two really nice runs at 1,200 metres. Out to 14 is a big plus. Probably at her best between 16 and 2,000, but I'll have a little something on her tomorrow at a massive price, because she was trialling so well before her first up and second up runs. She's going to be winning, and she put together two or three last preparation. I think she's ready to do that again, this preparation, when she gets to her right trip. See what she brings. Another one that I'm... Why she's appearing here, I'm not sure. This time of year, after she got her Group 2 placing during the spring. Well drawn, Jamie Mott up. The jump out was good. She was just cuddled away there, produced really late, and then ridden through the line. And she finished really well and was going away from them through the line. So I think, listening to David Hayes as well, she's ready to run well first up tomorrow. It's a really tricky race. If you pushed me, I'd have something small each way on Ann Arbor. Despite the tempo, I don't know. If she bobbed up, if Queen Latifah went out and sets a genuine tempo and I'm sitting there looking at Ann Arbor smoking the pipe at the 600, I would absolutely give myself an uppercut. So I'll probably have a little something small just as an interest, but
right.
Not a race I'm getting carried away
with. Well, that is very good value for the Shark followers there. $23, $6 a place,
Ann Arbor. Just keep your eye on her. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be soon. She's nearly ready. Tony Noonan, if you're listening, just send me a text and tell me if she's ready.
We'll pass it on. All right, that's the first five down at headquarters. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, it'll be the quaddie, and we'll also get Shark's take on the two big group ones up north.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. First leg of the quaddie at Flemington tomorrow is race number six. We just heard Quinny say that Massif has been one of the best back runners, Shark, into $3.40. But this race, it's fair to say, you could call it a race of those who don't win that often.
True that. Best of the day here, Massif.
Really?
Race six, number eight.
Was big last start.
Was huge. His preparation this time around is actually mirroring his three-year-old preparation in Ireland. He kicked off at 1,600. Went to 1,800, and then he jumped up quickly to 26 in a listed race and ran a really good race there behind Western Australia, who's a decent quality horse. I loved his last start run. He was so strong through the line. If it was another 50 metres, he probably beat Sava Heat. He was finishing that strongly. Came from last on that occasion. I don't think he'll get that far back at this trip, particularly with Craig Williams up. Yeah, he's the bet of the day for me. I want to be with him. There are a couple that go in the quaddie with him for insurance. Actually, I'll probably take two quads, one with him, one out. Another one with Starcaster, who I just don't think goes on heavy ground. His first up win was too good to suggest he's going poorly. The turn of foot there was brilliant. It was a slow run race, but he showed us what he's got at his best. Heavy nine and heavy eight failures since. I think we just put a line through those. We can talk to Sam Friedman in a moment and get his opinion on that. The other horse that goes in is Sintawin. Back down in the weights, really brave in that Sasco race last time. Half a kilo above the minimum, Oliver on. A good gate. Now, that's important because so far this prep, the horse has drawn awkwardly and he's been well and truly off the pace. He's a bit of a grinder. I think if he can sit closer to the speed, he's got a better chance of breaking through, but he's not far off. They're the three for the quad, but Massif is the bet of the day, in my opinion.
All right, happy to take 340. And just give us those two other numbers to throw in the
7,
insurance.
8 and 11.
7,
in the
8, 11, first leg of the quaddie. Race number 7, Aussie Nugget for Anthony Freeman is the favourite here. Got a long way back last start. and made ground, but was never a winning hope, really. Drawn maybe a touch awkwardly again. No say in it is at $4.80. And for those who may have missed it, Sikorsky, who was the ruling favourite, has been scratched this morning with a hoof issue. So the market's been reshuffled. Nobu on a dry surface would suit it at $6.50. And Artie Lucas, who comes through the provincials after a good win, at $7. How many do we need in this leg of the quaddie show?
We're going to take a couple. I think the pace is okay in this race, though. At each way odds, I'm happy to go with Nobu onto a better surface. He hasn't seen a dry track since the Queensland Derby last year, and he ran fourth. Mm. And before that, he beat a horse called Carriff, who's a big chance in a, if it's a locals Melbourne Cup later in the year. He just needs better ground. A soft five, I think, is good enough for him. He's loomed up in a couple of races, but when the pressure's really gone on to Quicken, he hasn't been able to. The wheels just spin. Craig Williams wants to stick with him. That's a really good lead, in my opinion, to say that the horse is close to a win and onto a better deck. I think at, what is he, around $8 or something?
No, he's into $6.50 now, Sikorsky.
$6.50, okay. Well, that market might correct with Sikorsky being out. Just, you know, cool your jets there, punters. But he was $8 yesterday, and I thought that was good enough for me to have a little try each way. Another horse that could improve is Southern Rock. Had to work to get forward there last time in that same Sava Heat race. Again, I don't think the heavy tracks are what he enjoys. Getting onto a better deck, good for him. He has got some decent form around this distance range to 2,000 metres in Europe, and I like the way he stayed on there last start. No say in it, backing up. Hit the line really hard last week. Up in trip, that's a plus for him. He does like some give in the ground too. They are the principal trio, in my opinion. Quaddie-wise, we'll be going Nobu, number 4, 7, Southern Rock, 8, No Say In It, and at big, big odds, 13, Desert Path.
Mm. Desert Path is a $34 chance. Mm. You're in love with Chris Waller tomorrow. You think he's going to have a big day?
Yeah, I think he'll get a couple. I think he'll be right around the mark. Yeah, there's a couple of his horses that I think are terrific chances.
All right, so the quaddie, 4, 7, 8 and 13 at a big price. You are leaving Aussie Nugget out.
Leaving Aussie Nugget out.
All right, race number 8.
So I want to build the tension because I know who our next guest is.
Well, we're trying to get Sam.
You've got to answer it.
He might have clunked us because he wasn't happy with that.
I want to know about Kenya.
Well, we are trying. We're asking. Kenya is in this next race, and so is the Shin Rook. And Kenya, the money's on. It's a $5 favourite from $8 into $5, and it is the intriguing runner of the race. Iconoclasm, $6. Serious Suspect, $6.50. And the Shin Rook, $7. Can you tell us about Kenya?
He's an on-pace miler. He's got solid handicap form to sort of listed class group 3 form in Ireland mainly. He was tried in a Prix de Jockey Club in France, but I think he might have been making some speed there. He's got good natural gate speed. That's the good thing about the horse. So I'm not worried about him first up in Australia over a distance like this. He's had 3 jump outs. He was restrained in one of them. His second one, he bounced out. I think the first one might have woken him up a little bit because he flew the gates in the second one and probably just wanted to go a bit keen in front. In the third one, he took a sit. There was plenty of horse there over the last sort of 200 metres of that jump out, and he went to the line really strongly. Interesting runner. Hasn't seen a racetrack for 18 months, but the ability is there to knock over a race like this. He is a must for the quaddie.
Mm. All right. Is he a win bet or not?
I don't think he... No. 18 months first up. Nah, he's not. I don't know if there is a win bet in this race. Roxa Castle gets the absolute gun run behind Serious Suspect, who looks one of the leaders. Roxa Castle will go forward. Kenya will probably go forward. Outrageous comes out, so that speed up front, a little bit of the pressure just comes off there. I think you probably want to be with a horse that lands in that box seat in that first half of the field, and Roxa Castle is probably the default selection. Wouldn't be shocked if Asian Rook sat closer from a decent gate. Craig Newitt, a good, strong rider. That's what you need on Asian Rook. You need to get into him early, and he finishes off strongly. Serious Suspect's got a chance. Vacillator's got a chance. He's not far off another win. It's a really open race. If Haunted had produced his first two runs or something like them last time, you'd be confident that he'd be right in the race, but his last two have been well below what we expect from Haunted. Hard to come into him after those.
All right, numbers in race 8 for the quad?
Numbers in race 8, 3, 4, 10, 11 and 12.
3, 4, 10, 11 and 12. 3, Ashinrook, Roxa Castle, 10, Kenya, 11, Serious Suspect and 12, Vacillator.
We're in a flight path here.
Yeah, we are. we can't get Sammy Freeman. Gareth, the G-man, will get him on tomorrow morning to get the latest there. And that brings us to the last, which is a very easy way to finish the quaddie. The last, it looks very simple.
One
so
out.
I'm expecting you to nail this. It's 550 the field. Triton Rising is the favourite. It was a nice return. David Hayes said that he's got he's a listed, maybe Group 3 class galloper. Barbie's Fox was enormous last start out wide. Gee whiz, how many are we coming home with?
Not too many. I'm going to come home on a handful. It's a really competitive race. If Uluru sneaks into the field for Spicer Thoroughbreds, I think he's got some sort of chance. He's a good talent and broke a track record at Pakenham there first up. I've always thought a lot of him, and he seems to be on the way to delivering on that promise. Barbie's Fox, massive, as you said last time. Four wide, no cover, loomed up like she was going to win. The effort just told second up that last 200 metres. It was a really, really good run. I could definitely back her each way. Triton Rising, I think the hype is sort of determining the price a little bit. He was good first up, but he didn't smash Kingstar Amber, was it? Yeah, Kingstar Amber. Nice enough horse, Kingstar Amber, but probably a benchmark 64 horse at best. I would have liked to have seen Triton Rising just open up a little more over that last 150 or so, particularly in a class one. But anyway, here we are, his favourite at Flemington now. Wild Vixen back on better ground, good chance. Jolly Sailor should be unbeaten. No luck at all at its second start at Donald. It was really good either side of that. Good, tough on-speed horse, well-drawn to make use of those natural qualities. They're the ones I'm basically working around here in the last. Top pick, because, you know, I'll tip the card tomorrow. And if I'm 8 from 8 at
this
due.
Point, yeah.
It's going to be important. Barbie's Fox, top pick, number
the
3.
The Barbie. All right, 3, and just run through those numbers.
Quaddie numbers 3, 9, 10, 11 and 12.
10, 11 and 12. All right, that's our look at headquarters. We'll take a quick break, come back with the two group ones, the Stratty and the JJ, best at Flemo, and I might even get Shark to throw in a tip over in the UK. Seems it's the 2000 Guineas meeting, and there's some stars in action. All that coming up after the break.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Sharky, the two group ones, the features, the Atkins and the Stradbroke. Are you with Dawn Passage or Trekking despite the barriers? Or are you with maybe the three-year-old Exhilarates with 48.5, 49.5 from barrier 4?
It's a handicap, so you know I like to get a bit outside the square. I thought Exhilarate's run behind Dawn Passage was sensational. She was second up. I think Eagle Farm is a great scenario for her. Absolutely no weight on her back. Well, none of the three-year-olds do, to be fair, but I just like Exhilarate's, the way she lobs into this race. And I like to play a few at bigger odds in these sort of races, Michael.
Don't tell me Kementari.
What do you mean?
That you'd be a fan of Kementari.
Oh, there's two nonnies in this race that you've got to have something on. Graf and Kementari. They don't win. They've got the ability, but they don't win. But in a handicap, one with 55.5, one with 52, you've got to have something on. You've just got to. I think the weight's what stopped Kementari in his four runs back this time around. It's big boy pants day again for Kementari. He's got to stand up. What is he? What price?
He's $17. Does he have the heart? Does he have the will?
You know what? At $17, I'll find out. Happy to thrill seek at that price.
Special K and Graf for the Shark and the Stratty. That's
value.
Unheard of. All right, what about the two-year-olds of JJ Atkins?
JJ Atkins, look, no interest like self-interest.
Oh, which one?
Well, think Press Statement's going to be a really good stallion, but I really could use him being a Group 1 two-year-old sire, so spokesman.
What have you got? Have you got a little share in Press Statement?
I might have some bloodstock investments in Press Statement progeny.
All right.
If you know what I mean.
Okay. Well, taking self-interest out of it, can Spokesman be a fair dinkum chance
God,
at $51?
No.
Because earlier in the week, we had another piece of self-interest. Mytho was tipping Star Rossa.
Yeah.
It's 50-1 and so has worked really well. There's good push. It'd be lovely to see Andrew Manning win a Group 1. Makarua from the Mar Eustace stable.
Going really well.
And the locals, Rothfire, Wisdom of Water and Isotope are three really nice two-year-olds.
They sure are. Rothfire, no favours from the gate. Similar story, Isotope. I thought Wisdom of Water from 10 was probably the best of the locals. He'll go forward, so he offsets that barrier a little bit. He's got really good natural speed. Doesn't look like he's stopping at all over 1,200. And this has been the race that Toby Edmonds and Trent Edmonds have set him for. So he's probably the most likely winner, I think, in my humble opinion. But, you know, I'm going to have something on Spokesman at 1,000,000 to 1.
Good luck with that self-interest there. Ellerton Zara's two-year-old was Ollivander that he tipped to us.
Ollivander, that's
thank
right.
Thank you to the listener that texted that in. There's also tell the boys to cool their jets and organise this match race between Richardson and Zara during the lunch breaks at the jockey when we get the jockey's cricket match. I don't mind that idea. It's not
we don't want to be waiting a year for this.
Yeah, well, that's true. Although Simon might need that to
we
get back
into
fitness.
We may have a name
fitness.
For the race too.
Yeah?
Until we come up with something better. Skin v. Shag.
Well, that is until we come up with something better. But we can go with that
there,
now.
There's the challenge. Hey, come up with a better match race name.
Just quickly, before I get your best at Flemington, SMS from a listener. Stradivarius, what a weekend we've got of racing. Finally back in the UK. The 2,000 guineas, we've got Pinatubo, who I think's $1.80. The tab market's open in the 2,000 guineas.
You should be winning.
Which does look a generous price. Yeah, we've got Stradivarius in the Coronation Cup. I think up against Defoe and a few others.
Yeah. Your default from afar is to say, well, Stradivarius is the best stayer in the world. Why wouldn't he just go and win that? It's over 2,400 metres. Stradivarius, I know it sounds funny, but he's, I don't know if he's sharp enough at 2,400 metres. His best work is over 2 mile and further, or at least a mile six. Gayath is a really good 2,400 metre horse. He's coming off a recent run in Dubai where he looked back to his best. Defoe, likewise, really good 2,400 metre horse. I think either of those could happily turn over Stradivarius here. It might be the tune-up that he needs before he goes to Ascot or wherever they're heading next with him.
All right. Give us your best of the weekend, Sharky.
Massaf.
Chips
yep.
in?
Race
is this
six.
Is this a back the truck up?
No, that might be today at Donald.
Yes? Where? What race?
Hang on. Am I on yet? I've got to make sure I've got something on here before I go tipping the card up. Listen, there's a really, really nice horse in the last at Donald called Elderflower. She's jumped out recently against a couple of horses that Spicer Thoroughbreds manage that we've got a lot of time for, and she touched them up.
Really?
Looks really good doing it,
too. All right. It's 360 into 240 punters. Be quick, Elderflower. Hucker will be giving us the form for Donald after the break. Race 9, number 8, Elderflower. The best today.
Best today.
Build the bank into massive tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sharky, good luck in the tinny. And we will catch you on Monday for...
Have a good birthday party tonight. Party safe, Michael.
Do you know what we'll be drinking? A little bit of the splash vodka.
Of course you will. That's right.
And is a proprietor, but we'll be drinking that. Coming up, the news after that. It's the Victorian Form Preview at Donald.